Well, first of all, congratulations on the new office opening on January 30th.
Thank you, Chair.
And a great turnout, as always. You always have a huge crowd. I love the way you kept the tradition that Dave Richardson had of getting people to follow you. So you've got a lot of folks following you, Steve. And that's a great sign, because you can't bring change if you're all alone. That's for darn sure.
You got a good point there. You got a definitely good point there.
So the new office is at 5952 Germantown Ave, right at the corner of Harvey Street, right?
That's correct. Right, Germantown and Harvey.
And it's open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
Yeah, we do some Saturdays also, though.
Congratulations. Good for you.
Well, you know, it's you can't just serve people really from 9 to 5 on Monday through Friday. You know, folks have situations that occur Saturday,
right.
Sunday. And, you know, even though it might be hard to staff it on weekends per se, but, you know, one of the things that we've done is we made sure that folks in the community have my cell number, my personal cell number, as well as my chief of staff cell number. Well, we're both local, and all it takes is a phone call. And again, we can't resolve every situation at every moment, but by the same token, folks want to know that they can reach you, that you're accessible, and that at least you'll get back to them, you know, with some type of follow-up. And that's what we pride ourselves on.
And the number for the new office on Germantown Avenue is 215-849-6592. That's 849-6592.
Right.
Now, Governor Wolf's budget address is in March 3rd or 4th, something like that?
Right, it's March the 3rd.
And so what can we expect? Will we get more money for schools? That's the number one question. And then secondly, what's the overall level of cooperation between the Republican-dominated legislature and the new governor? Give us your assessment of the kinds of things we can expect to see.
Sure. From my opinion, Jerry, I believe that this governor, Governor Wolf, will put more money into education than we've seen over the past 4 years. And as you're aware, you know, in the House side, well, actually in the Senate as well, but on the House side, since I'm from the House, there is new leadership on the Republican side. Dave Reed is a younger gentleman. He's been up there, I think, for about maybe 8 terms. And Dave seems to be a little bit more open in discussion with our caucus as well as with the governor. He talks about the same need that we've expressed. Again, I can't speak for Representative Reed, but I just know in private conversations there seems to be a little bit more openness towards finding a fair funding formula for schools. And there seems to be more sincerity of working with the Democratic caucus. Now, keep in mind, you know, that's always, you know, everybody kisses and hugs at the first, you know, beginning of session. But by the same token, you know, the reality of it that we're dealing with is that, you know, we're 35 members down in the House. So, you know, the reality is that they can really get up there and vote and don't even need our vote. But, you know, we have to stay strong. We have to stay together as a caucus to really affect change and try to push the things that we believe in, such as additional dollars for public education.
Because isn't the cut in school funding also affecting the rural districts across the Commonwealth? It isn't just Philly and Pittsburgh and Bethlehem and Reading that have been decimated. From what I've read in some of the papers across the Commonwealth, the rural areas are as hard hit as we were.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, one of the problems that I think that we're having in Philadelphia is, with taxes. I mean, you know, the other counties, I guess when they had the rainfall of money, with the federal dollars, they may have invested different. I'm not exactly sure. You know, I've only been in session for 2 years, but I do know that since I've come in, I mean, we've had some issues with the taxes. You know, you're well aware of the $2.
The sin tax,
which was really just a drop in the bucket. And you know, I guess everybody says, well, every penny helps, but, you know, the flip side of it is we have to find a better way to make sure that there's additional dollars. And we're not the only one. Philadelphia is not the only county out of 67 counties. I think my understanding is that at least a quarter of them were having some financial difficulties with education.
What are some of the other priorities you expect this new governor to try to put in place when he delivers his budget address on March 3rd?
I think that, well, this is what I hope to see. We definitely hope to see additional funding for education.
Mm-hmm.
We hope that there's a cutback with spending towards prisons. You know, he kept Secretary Wetzel, who I believe is a good man, from the Corbett administration. But, right. You know, I've had several conversations and had Secretary Wetzel down here to meet with the general public at least on four different occasions. So we're hoping that there's a cut with spending there. You know, I think it's going to be a little bit tough because, you know, already the Speaker of the House has put out legislation where he's trying to privatize the liquor stores. And that was a battle where even under the Corbett administration, he could not get enough votes from his own caucus to support that. So I know that there's going to be some give and take, and folks are going to have to understand that. I mean, just because we have Wolf as the governor, who I strongly support, things, you know, he doesn't have a magic wand to just make things happen. It's going to have to be some negotiation, and, you know, pension reform is one of the issues that have come up, which we definitely have to look at, no doubt. But the privatization of liquor stores is going to be, you know, for me, my feeling is that it's not going to realistically help Philadelphia. I don't really see how it's going to help the budget. You know, the taxing of Marcellus Shell. You know, we're looking at a $2.2 billion deficit.
Right.
And, you know, somehow we got to make up that deficit. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, tax is the way to do it. But by the same token, you know, when we have the Marcellus Shell that's out there making billions of dollars and bringing in billions of dollars of revenue to that industry, there has to be a fair way to extract some of those dollars and infuse it into public education and other needed areas.
We're the only state that doesn't tax the extraction of the gas from the Marcellus Shale. So do you think there's a possibility that the legislature will, in fact, approve some kind of levy?
I think that it's going to be give and take, but I believe at the end of the session that we will probably see some sort of levy. And again, you know, you might have heard anywhere from a 10% levy to a 3.5%. But I believe right. that we're going to find some magic, some number in between there, probably not as high as some folks are looking for. But I believe that at the end of the session, there'll be a tax on the shell.
Right. How about the infrastructure? We have some of the oldest and worst conditioned roads and bridges anywhere in the country. Luckily, we've had no terrible, you know, highway tragedies like they've had in different parts of the country where, you know, bridges collapse or roads just fell apart. But we're pretty close in some places. Any chance that we can begin to see some improvements in our infrastructure?
Jared, I expect to see improvement. Last session, we passed Act 89. In fact, I sit on the Transportation Committee. Okay. We passed Act 89, which infused billions of dollars into roads, bridges, highways, mass transit. SEPTA got a nice chunk of it, and we should start seeing some local development internally here in the city as well as on the outskirts throughout the suburban counties as well. That Act 89, I mean, those dollars that were infused, those billions of dollars, that should last for at least, you know, maybe 3 to 4 years, and we should start seeing some improvement, hopefully this session starting. In fact, we will be meeting with the secretaries to talk about how those dollars are being directed and where they're being directed towards and what improvement has taken place since last session when we passed Act 89.
So it should be an exciting first budget address by the new governor, and we're looking forward, hopefully, to some change. Maybe even on the positive side, especially when it comes to public education.
Yeah, I hope so. Hey, Jerry, if I may for one second,
please, go ahead.
It's great to talk about what's taking place in Harrisburg, but you know, for me, it all starts here.
Absolutely.
We don't do anything within our own communities. You know, we may not have the opportunity to go back every 2 years, but I just want to, if I may, Jerry, there's two events that are coming up.
Please.
Right in the northwest section of Philadelphia. One is actually a town hall on health. That's taking place Saturday, February 21st.
And where's that going to be?
It's going to take place at Lingerbach School, which is located at Wayne and Johnson Street. We're focusing on childhood obesity, bullying, teen pregnancy. And this is really being done by the Grassroots Community Foundation. I happen to be a partner with that organization. I also have Councilman Cindy Bass, and we're bringing in Senator Art Hayward. But this is a grassroots effort to really focus on childhood obesity, especially as it pertains to young girls. And it's important that folks get out and get this information.
Absolutely.
And then the following week, February 28th, I'm working with Mission Inc., the Black Male Development Symposium, mm-hmm. Arcata University,
okay.
the Pan Am Studies, African Studies at Arcata as well, and we're doing an event called Letters to Trayvon. So on the 21st, we got an event that's focusing on young African-American girls, talking about their health and obesity. Then on the 28th, at 6 o'clock, we're going to be at Arcata University with this event called Letters to Trayvon. I'm going to sponsor a contest with around city schools where we're getting young boys to write letters about, you know, Trayvon and what it means to them, the tragic situation that occurred years ago with that young boy being killed. So this is really a focus on young males expressing their feelings and just talking about the transition from that time, which is only a few years ago. And we know some of the recent events that occurred with, you know, throughout the country with young black males, and bringing it up to speed right here, right now in our community. So these two events are going to be great events, and I'm just encouraging folks to really get involved, because it starts, at least for me, it starts with our community, with our people, making them aware and educating them about what's taking place, not only in their community, but around the region and across the nation.
The guy's name is Steve Kinsey. He may be new to some of you, but not to all of us. He's a dynamic young political leader in the tradition of David P. Richardson and John Myers. He now represents the Northwest section of Philadelphia in the state legislature. It's the 201st Legislative District. And we're going to get him on regularly to give us updates on some of the things that he's doing, as well as what's taking place in Harrisburg. He's the kind of leader that we can have a lot of trust and faith in to keep our community well informed. Steve Kinsey, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to our next time together with you.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jerry.
Have a great Sunday.
Thanks, same to you.
7:53. We're almost.